I'll share with you just a little bit about some prayer and communion with the Lord, but sometimes we have such a wrong opinion of prayer, a wrong idea of it, definition, and it is asking. That's what John Rice, the great evangelist of yesteryear, said. Prayer is asking, and that's certainly what it is. It's asking God to do the things that we, of course, can't do. But there is so much more to it than that, that sometimes it's just a communion that you need to have. And there's sometimes, if you've really got a true friend, you've got somebody who you greatly love, that you don't need things from them, and you just want to spend time with them. And I'm going to cover some of that tonight as we look in it. I did fail to mention that we do want to pray for Brother David Snyder. We were in a meeting with him this week, and he was traveling on to Ambassador, and I told him that I would be praying, but I'll share with that as well. He's teaching and preaching the next couple of days at Ambassador Baptist College around those young men. And we need missionaries. We need folks that will go around this world, take the gospel. And so as you go home, if you think about it, pray for Kyle's dad, that the Lord would use him as he's teaching, preaching to these young Bible college students, that some of them would surrender to the ministry. And then there's an evangelist, Jeremiah Hart. He had come through. He sang, he and his family, some a year or two back, maybe two back, they're trying to purchase a motor coach. Going up, they're using a residential RV, and they're about wearing it out. There's several of them, and they're trying to get into a higher level machine that's made for all those miles and miles and miles. And so I told him, I said, well, I'll tell the church tonight to be praying that God would work those things out for him. And he is a good servant of the Lord. But as you think about prayer, again, sometimes we've got that idea like a 12-year-old would have. When somebody sings the song Sweet Hour of Prayer, a 12-year-old would think, oh my word, I could never pray for an hour. And what they're thinking of is that they would run out of stuff to ask for. Because a lot of times, as that age, you might just think that prayer would just be that, well, Lord, I want this, and please do this, and good things. Help this missionary and help that missionary. And they've already prayed for everybody they've known, and now only 10 minutes has passed. And so they wouldn't know what else to do in prayer if they said, well, truly an hour of prayer. But as we look at this, and I'm going to look at Isaiah chapter 25 or 26, rather, and just for the thought of the communion, then we're going to go into other scriptures to get the true message or lesson for tonight. But I love what this says as the prophet here, he's coming, talking about Israel's kingdom song, what will be one of these days. Verse number 3, we love that. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. But down in verse number 8, the Bible says this of Isaiah 26, yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. But I want you to look specifically at verse number 9 to give this thought of the communion that the prophet has wanted to have with God. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. So, we're not going to preach from that verse, but I wanted to use it as a springboard as you see just the beauty of the words. It says, my soul, I've desired thee in the night. With my spirit within me will I seek thee early. So, in the night was that watch that was late, like we're thinking about a little bit. If somebody calls you here a little while and says, listen, I know you're getting ready to go to bed, but I need some help. And if you can, then you are, well, I'll be there. Maybe it's a car broke down, or it's water spewing somewhere, whatever. Well, I'll help through the night. But then he goes on to say, then in the morning, with my spirit within me, will I seek thee early. And so I guess I could say it like this: there's no wrong time to be seeking the Lord. Sometimes people feel slighted a little bit. A preacher will come in and say, so you got to get up early in the morning. And then sometimes people say, I tried that. I tried to get up at 5. By 5:15, I was already back asleep. When I knelt down to pray, I knelt all the way down and went flat on my face before the Lord. And I'm not so worried about when you do it, truly. Some people are better at one than the other, although the Bible does give some principles there to seeking the Lord early, get up and seek the Lord. But it also says here that we'll seek the Lord late and we'll seek Him early. And the thrust of that is that we ought to be seeking the Lord. But more than just looking, more than just asking, and more than just wanting things from Him, that we ought to have this sweet communion. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. And so as we look in it, I will trust that the Lord will bless us. With my spirit within me will I seek thee early. So the definition of communion is given there in your introduction. It's an intimate or sublime exchange or communication of thoughts or feelings. We commune. And so we understand that prayer is so much more than just seeking what you can get from God, because it's not a genie that you're rubbing the lamp and saying, when that genie pops up, give me the first three wishes. It's not that. It's not you getting some rich relative that is very generous and says, well, I'll just give you whatever you want. It's not that either. It's not having that friend that's very, very capable and you say, well, I need some help with this thing to get this finished. Okay, I'll help you and I'll build that, like the missionary said. It's not you having a good friend that's a carpenter. Well, I'll work on that. Prayer is so much more than just that, and it is this idea of communing with God. And so as we get started tonight, and probably for a few weeks possibly, I want to see if you have that communion time with God. You don't have to tell me, but I do want you to answer your own self about whether you do or not. Do you have time in your day when it's just you and Him? When it's just you and you're just spending time with the Lord, maybe you spend a lot of time in a vehicle and you just shut the radio off, or an audio player, you shut that off and you just talk to the Lord on the way down. You get close to Him. Maybe it's you do have that time and you get that recliner, or maybe it's yours is back in the back of the house, or maybe it's outside, wherever. Do you have that time? I've heard all kinds of excuses. Some people say, well, the garage is my religion. Well, I don't know about that. You know, if I've walked up on people in their garages and they weren't praying in there, that's for sure. I've been talking to somebody else on the other side of things, but not that. So it's more than just, wow, that's my release. That's where I go. I'm not talking about that you go and you just sit there or you just work there and that's good for you. Maybe that's therapy and that's great, but I'm talking something more. I'm talking about you getting alone with the Lord and having communion like the Word of God says. So let's look at it if we would. If you would turn to 2 Peter chapter number 3. So 2 Peter in the New Testament, and we'll look at here how the Bible talks about us growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you find your place in 2 Peter chapter number 3, the Bible says in verse number 18 that you are supposed to be growing. You and I are supposed to be growing, and the way we're supposed to be growing is growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So as we see this and we grow in grace and we grow and we increase in this knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, then as we get closer, like another friendship that you might have, if somebody that you've been friends with for a long time, the longer you know them, the more that you're around them, you should be able to quickly pick back up with them when you get back in surroundings of them. Well, the same it could be said with the Lord. The better you get to know each other. There's a lot of things that I don't pray for anymore, because in my youth, maybe I did pray for this and this, and it's almost as if the Lord, as you spend more time with Him, just kind of directs your attention away from that and puts it over here, and you just don't really care. You know, the psalmist says in Psalm 37 that give you the desires of thine heart. And as a youth, I used to think, that's great. I got a lot of things I want. So I thought, if I just seek the Lord with all my heart, if I just do this, then God's going to give me my big wish list. But I think some of you in this room, if not all of you in this room, you found out the same thing I found out. When you start communing with the Lord and you start spending time with Him and praying and seeking Him, as Jeremiah 33:3 says, when you start doing these things, then it's not that He's not powerful enough to give you whatever you did think about before, but now your wonders changed. You don't want the same things that you used to, because as you commune with the Lord, you start desiring the things that He wants. You start desiring things that bring His name glory. You start desiring things that get the gospel around the world. You start desiring the things that bring glory to Him instead of bringing pleasure to you. And so when you come and you've been communing with the Lord, it's as if you can't say, well, Lord, I would like to have that new whatever. Lord, I would like to have that bigger house, or I would like to have this. You kind of step back and just say, Lord, I want what you want, and I want your name to be lifted up. So, but grow in grace, the Bible says, and as we grow, we see that we grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the more we know about him, we know what the scripture says. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, and the closer we get with the Lord, the more we commune with him, then the more we are concerned about the things that he's concerned with. And we're less concerned about the things that don't matter to God. Because there are a lot of things that I care about that I don't think God gives two hoots about. And I don't think they're sinful things. And if they come and he does it just because he can and he wants to, then fine. But sometimes I think those things that I'm blessed right now with so many things that I never thought I would have. And many of them I didn't necessarily pray for. It's just that God blessed with them. But when you commune with the Lord, then you start getting like him in some ways, and you feel foolish or a little bit wrong, maybe, if it would be that, maybe not that strong, but out of place to ask for some of the things that you might have asked for some time ago because they really don't matter. Let it be like this. How many of you, when you were 16, 17, and you knew what you wanted, you knew what kind of car you wanted, you knew what this, you wanted to get out of high school, you had all these things that you wanted to do, and now that you're whatever age you are, some of those things that you thought were so important, now you look back and say, they didn't matter at all. Wouldn't you have loved to have that outlook then that you have now? Sure. It's almost that same thought process. That as you get closer with the Lord, and all of us ought to want to be closer, but as we get closer to the Lord, some of those things that we used to want to see happen, that doesn't matter anymore. And so we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see back in Genesis chapter 6, verse number 9, Noah was a just man, walked with God, the Bible says. Bible characters, they grew as they walked with the Lord. They got closer and closer to him. Moses, the Bible says, he was that meek man. He was a friend of God. Abraham was a friend of God. Moses was that meek man. And these men got closer and closer to the Lord. One old preacher put it like this. Moses was walking one day, and God said, you're closer to my house than you are your house. Just come on home with me. Oh, it happened quite like that, but interesting story. But the Bible characters, they grew as they walk with the Lord, and we ought to be increasing in this knowledge of God. Look at one other place in Colossians chapter number 1, if you would. You're in Peter, go left, several books. All the books start with ends with uns, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians 1:10. It tells us again how we're supposed to be increasing in the knowledge of God. My dad was talking to me recently, and he was talking about the difference between knowledge and wisdom. We can get knowledge, and the Bible says it talks about that puffing up. We can get knowledge about something that makes us proud, and we're worse for it. But when you get the true knowledge of the Lord and you increase in that knowledge and you've got the right spirit, then that wisdom comes along with it, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so the Bible says in verse 10 that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Goes on to say, verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering, with faith, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father. And so it goes on there and talks about the prayer that he prays for the Colossi people. But seeing this, it just reminds us that as you grow closer to him, as you learn more about him, there is a great thing that we're missing in our Christianity today. And I'm thinking it's only been gone for a few decades. But even when I was getting situated in the ministry, that I was on the tail end of great radio broadcast and even television, but great radio broadcast where people would try to adjust their day so that they would always catch J. Vernon McGee or some preacher, Oliver B. Green on the Gospel Hour. They would always try to get it so they'd hear Mays Jackson, the truck driver special, and you'd try to adjust your day so that where if you're at work, you could turn the radio on and hear that. Because they wanted the Word of God. And I'm not speaking about the people here on Wednesday night because you're the weirdos. Say, thanks, Pastor. Well, I'm here with you, so don't take it personal. But we are wanting to get in the Word of God, and I understand. But you realize that our nation as a whole, we've tried to abandon that because we notice it by the lack of the hunger for the Word of God. And the hunger for the Word of God, when you have that hunger for the Word of God, what you're having a hunger for is the Lord, or the God of the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. It happens that churches have tried to do all they can to entice people to come, and they've tried to tell them that we've got a cute sermon series. I'm embarrassed as I look at some churches online, how they'll take really inappropriate secular movies and try to teach lessons out of those. I'm thinking, first of all, why would we bring our church down? But there's a lot of problems with that. But they will take secular themes, and some of them very inappropriate, and try to clean them up, and doing that just to try to appeal to people. And although I don't agree with that for certain, but I do understand, although I don't agree with them doing it, wouldn't, but I understand what some of them are trying to do because the hunger for the Word of God is not there. And may we be a people, us sitting right here, and may our church be one that have that hunger for the God of the Word and for the Word of God. So we grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we grow in that. So we grow in grace, and we increase in that knowledge, and all of this brings us closer in that communion. Number two, prayer as we commune, it does involve more than asking of things. You're in Colossians. Look, turn back one book to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, we're going to hear from a guy that doesn't want to just get his 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 things on his prayer list responded to by God. That guy is the Apostle Paul. God uses him here. But because prayer involves more than asking of things, Philippians chapter 3, verse number 8, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Look down at verse number 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. You're listening to a guy, it's Holy Spirit inspired, I realize that, but as he's writing it to him, it doesn't sound like a man that's trying to get one more thing from God before I close this prayer time. Instead, the heart of it is that I just want to know him. So much so that he says, I'm glad to even know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. It's not just that I'm not wanting a specific list of things, but I want to be yoked up together with him in his sufferings of that. And so prayer involves more than just the asking of things. You've all heard great illustrations before that I won't belabor, but we've heard illustrations even about President Lincoln and his son coming in, just running past everybody else because he had a relationship. He got to go in and ask some things. Well, we've got a relationship with the Father, and we ought to have sweet fellowship with the Father, so that communion is there. And whether I ever ask anything again or not, I just love to be with him. So prayer involves more than that. But I want you to look in John, the Gospel of John, turn left again. And we're going to see about us abiding in Christ. All of these things are bringing us to this thought of communion with the Lord. And I ask you at the beginning, and I'll close here in just a few moments with the question again at the end, about whether or not we are communing. Verse number 7 of John 15, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So I'd like to spend just a few moments here trying to drive this point home, because this is what I think that we miss, and I think that young Christians miss about prayer. If I'm understanding right here in verse number 7, abide in me and my words abide in you, that I think point A that I put on your outline, or Stephanie put it on there for you, that really answers to prayer are almost a natural byproduct of abiding in him. You are close to lots of people, I'm sure, but take one person in particular that you're very, very close to. If I were come to ask you, hey, would you be able to ask that dear friend of yours if I could borrow whatever I want to borrow? You would very likely say something like this to me. Oh, yeah, next time I'm over there, I'll ask him. Or I'll just, yeah, next time I'll tell him. I'm just going to, next time I'm over there, I'll ask him and I'll bring it back for you. Because you have that communion with that person. I do not, but you have that. And he's like, oh, yeah, while I'm there, I'll ask him. That's no problem. It's almost that same temperament here. Almost that same thought in my mind is what I get when I read John 15:7. If you abide in me, I abide in you. You should ask what you will to be done unto you. It's just like a byproduct of abiding in him. Yes, as I mentioned, John Rice, he said that prayer is asking, a great classic book, prayer, asking, receiving. But somebody I'm around a lot, I don't labor and worry about whether they'd ever let me borrow $5 or borrow a tool or have help in something. Somebody that's your brother and he's got a truck and you don't, and you need something moved from, you need to get a dishwasher and you want to have it from Lowe's to your house, you want to pay the $50 to get it. Well, you're asking that brother, but you're really more asking him as a courtesy, hey, can you bring your truck over and we'll load that up? Because I don't want to do damage to Scripture here, but you are abiding with that brother of yours. You have communion with him, assuming your relationship's good. You have a great relationship. It's not a thing that, well, oh man, I don't know. My brother might not let that truck get used, you know. And so I don't want to do any damage to Scripture, of course, but as I read through this, this is what I come up with the greatest illustration, what I just gave you, and that it's almost like it's a byproduct. So I would love for us in our prayer time to get past the thing of a fifth grader that says, oh yeah, I've got this list. I want to pray for mom. I want to pray for dad. And that's great, because those are like the baby steps in prayer. Yeah, I want to do that. You teach them that. You teach them to confess their sins and talk to the Lord and ask the Lord. You just do all of that. But as you get older in your prayer time, and as you get older in your faith, and you've been walking with the Lord some, and he's done so many things for you, you get to more of a time, you have more emphasis on just abiding in him than you do on asking, oh, by the way, Lord, I need this, I need this, and I need this. Because God's pleased, number four on there before we leave, when he has communion with his children. That reference that I put there is about Enoch. Enoch walked with God, the Bible says, and was not, for God took him. Enoch, walking with the Lord, fellowshipping with him, communing with him, and God took him. Anybody know Enoch's dad's name? I do. There's a reason. You'll see it in just a moment. It's Jared. So I figured if Enoch knew how to walk with the Lord, maybe somebody taught him. So I thought, well, we'll name Jared after that Jared. But Enoch walked with God. Well, the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, they walked with God. They had communion. And I don't have a Bible verse for letter B underneath there. I mean, principle, I could find some principles, but I wanted to give this because this is where we're living, and we'll close here in just a moment. But if you're looking at your little outline, letter B underneath that last one is truly what I think that I like to watch old Westerns sometimes, and I told you when I had COVID one of the times, my family, that was back when everybody's afraid that almost a door wasn't enough to keep it from you. You know, now they have relaxed that a little bit, but back then they just kind of slide food underneath the door to me. And so I watched a lot of Bonanza, you know, Little Hoss, Joe, all of them. And so I like that. But if we lived in that era, it might be a bit easier to commune with the Lord, because things that we do quickly now took a lot of time then. You're going to go down to Johnson City. I got to go down there and I got to go to Jonesboro to get to the courthouse. I got to register something. Well, that's just getting your car and zip down there. But if you got to saddle your horse and or put a harness on your horse and get a buggy and then go down there, that's going to be a long process. It'll take you a while. Well, we probably in other eras, I'm not saying we want to go back to that. I like driving. So I'm just saying, but we probably had times in our history when we could commune with the Lord a little bit easier than we can now. And so I'm afraid this busyness keeps a lot of us from it. But whatever God's allowed to come to pass now can't be an excuse for us not to do what God commands us to do. So you can't say, I would commune with the Lord if I had more time. No, God gives you the same amount of hours and the same amount of minutes in every day that he gives everybody else. And in every other generation, you've got the same amount. So we may have more conveniences. We may have more things that keep us busier. You can argue either way. But still, the John 15:7 command and request is still there. Abide in me. My words abide in you. You ask what you will, it shall be given to you. So our busyness always fights against this. So therefore, we've got to fight for a little while against our busyness. Truly, you and I will do what you and I want to do. If I want to spend time communing with the Lord tomorrow, I will. If I want to fill that time with something else, I'll do that too. But as we get started on this, I want us to think about us developing sweet communion with God, because sometimes, even in our current situation where we are, we'll slip back to that early thoughts about prayer, and we'll just be listing them out. Lord, do this. 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 And that's a little bit easy to get bored in that. But if we can spend time just communing with the Lord. You say, Brother John, how do you do that? Well, here's one way. That is simply by putting distractions out and reminding yourself and reminding or telling the Lord how good he's been to you. That you say, Lord, you are the creator of this world. We live in the most beautiful place in the world, I think. I love it right here. And it's easy to walk out my back door. I look over Margie's field behind us and some of the places back on Buckingham. And I say, Lord, look at that. That sun will come up over those trees. And I say, Lord, thank you for that. That's beautiful. And whenever I start thinking like that and I start praising the Lord and start just realizing who he is and realizing who I am and realizing, well, he got a bad deal on this whole thing, then it just draws me in, if I'll let myself, and if I'll take the time. So, it's a whole lot easier to start praying about the things that we need to do around here at the church, for instance. We need to do some big things here in the future with the development and more space for Sunday school and more different, a lot of things coming up that the Lord, I believe, is moving in, and we'll share all of that with you. But whenever there's big things that come up, I have to remind myself, we got a big God that doesn't flinch when things come that are big to other people. Amen. And that only comes when we commune with him. Amen. Father, thank you for this time to be in your word. I'm a little worried, Lord, right now that maybe it seems more like a devotion than it does a Bible study. I hope, though, that pray that you would just settle it in on our hearts. And Lord, I want to be a group of people that just commune with you. Lord, we have that sweet fellowship. Lord, we could just sit there in our recliner or kneel there at our couch or walk in our woods. And Lord, not ask for one single thing. Just rejoice that you're our God. You saved us. You supply our needs. You give us what we have. You go with us. You don't ever leave us. You let the sun come up this morning. You give us this night tonight. You give us this place to come. Lord, there's so many things. We could just talk for an hour just about how blessed we are, how good you are, and how undeserving we are. Lord, help us to be those that commune with you, I pray in Jesus' name. As they begin to play, if God spoke to your heart, I invite you to start communing with the Lord right now. No need to wait till tomorrow. Remind yourself, and you don't have to remind God, but remind yourself and praise the Lord for some things right now in your heart and in your mind. How good he is, how undeserving you are, how blessed he's been, how blessed you've been because of his goodness. I hope that everybody would take it to heart. as they continue to play, one last thing. If you're here tonight and you're not sure that you're saved, my friend, I wouldn't leave out of here not knowing that for certain. I spent too many nights going to bed worried that I wasn't going to make it to heaven if I didn't make it up, wake up the next morning. Oh, what a miserable way to live. If you're here, you're not sure you're saved, would you step out and come and let me just take the word of God and show you how you can be sure you're saved? That invitation is open to everyone. And then every believer in this room right now, would you just commune with the Lord for the next little bit? Praise Him for who He is, what He's done. Worship Him for who He is. Just be in His presence. I'll have them play one more verse. Just have a little time there with the Lord. If anybody needs to come and pray with me or pray by yourself, please step out and come. Amen to that. Thank you so much. You can look this way. Brother Stephen, you got anything to say about your... Yeah, why don't you come up and give us a little update on Elijah? And then we'll be dismissed after that. We want to go home praying about him.
So Pastor asked me before he preached if I had an update from Elijah. And I was like, well, he sent a lot of pictures of food, so I know he's alive. But he hasn't really said anything other than that. So I asked him during the service, I said, hey, do you got anything to say? And he's like, well, things are going great. We have passed out more than 10,000 tracts, and some people have responded well towards the gospel. We still have a week left. We have had little to no opposition of passing stuff out and have had pretty much free rein on anything. So, and that's all he said. So there you go.
Nation, Stephen. Boy, oh boy. Well, be sure your sin will find you out. So, no, thank you for doing that. I appreciate that. That gives us a little prayer fodder to be praying for. So let's keep praying for him, praying God would use him, Miss Diana, over there. So thank you for being in church tonight. God bless you. You're dismissed. Just joking. Thank you. Thank you for getting that. I appreciate it.